Time to bring in Jim Lynch and cover your assets. Of course, Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics. He brings over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. I'm going to do something that I've never done before with Jim Lynch. I'm going to ban him from talking about the horrid Giants, the horrid Jets, and the horrid Mets. He might sneak in something about the Yankees if he wants to, but those other teams are off the table. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for sparing me such a great challenge.
Right. So, that's a sort of...
We're certainly not dealing with hurricanes when it comes to these teams.
No.
That said, first the good news. The Consumer Protection Bureau has won a suit subject to a judge's final approval to force a large trust, it's called a National College Credit, a National College Trust, forcing them to audit their $8 billion in student loans. What happens is, subject to the judge's approval, they will no longer be able to garnisher the salaries of students who are delinquent or in default on their student loans. Based on evidence that has been put forward in getting this done, this particular trust has just been horrible in terms of its administration of its student loans. And by that I mean they've basically sued people without paperwork, haven't been able to come up with proof that the loans existed, done all kinds of practices which violate the rights of the consumer. So if you want to read the full article, I'm certain you can find it on the internet, but you can find it on our web page, or rather our Facebook page. Also in the news pertinent to individuals, very specifically corporations, of course, as well, but in terms of individuals, is the floating of a tax reform bill, which has been sold as helpful to the middle class and probably the rich have to pay more. Again, I reference my page, Facebook page. I put it up there for your convenience because some of these things are quite detailed and really can't be handled in a conversation effectively. The bottom line is what's being pushed forward is that rather than you getting a deductibility on a 401k, a tax advantage when you first get involved, they want to push that off and force you to do a Roth 401 to Roth IRA to get the tax benefit at the end of the life of your investment, which certainly will hurt people's planning in terms of those who have a continual pattern of adding to their 401k. And actually, while it creates more revenue for the government short term, down the pike there'll be less revenue because the funds coming out of these plans will be tax-free. Also, and I doubt that they'll get this done, but Congress or members of the Congress, mostly behind the scenes, have put out to challenge the interest on mortgages, which has been a tremendous boon to the average person who is building their nest egg and building their future. And it's been extremely helpful, obviously, to the banks and who get the business of financing homes and so forth, and has certainly helped the building industry. I doubt if it goes through, but the mere fact that they're resurfacing this again, because this has been tried previously, is indicative that there's probably not a lot of new forward thinking going on in Washington at the moment regarding a tax reform package. Another item that they're thinking of disallowing is your ability to write off your state and local taxes on your federal return. This really hits everybody. It certainly hits very wealthy people who who get taxed quite a bit. But it really, these deductions and they really hammer the middle class. The middle class makes only so much money pretty consistently year in and year out. And so these tax deductions are very important to the well-being of the individual's balance sheet, if you would, P&L, and savings and so forth. So catch up on that. We're not yet to the point where I think you have to go to your accountant because there's nothing really that finite. But I think you should be very prepared to do that if some kind of draconian bill is created. I really doubt it.
So first,
the bottom line, as I read it, basically they're pushing for things which will probably lower taxes on, I don't know, it's the 1% or the 10th of 1%, and the middle class may or may not get any tax deduction at all. But stay tuned. On the legislative front, apparently, the Senate is going to try once again to repeal Obamacare. It certainly would seem to be an inappropriate effort because as we read the legislation, it's not all that much different than what we've seen. Again, according to the experts, a repeal will really hurt people rather than help. Now, we are lucky to have a number of governors throughout the country who basically are working together to plan on doing something with the Medicaid, which they get, and are advocates of doing things that work for their states and their individuals, as opposed to going along with what the federal government decides to do. Now, that's going to be very confusing if the federal government does do this thing, but just stay alert. And one last thing before I turn it back to our two gurus. The state of California, I believe, has almost passed legislation, or it's been proposed, that states anybody running for the president of the United States in the state of California must file 5 years of back tax returns. Now, I'm pretty certain that will go through, if it's not through already. That'll mean that our current president, in order to be on the ballot in California, will have to basically present the last 5 years of his tax return, something which he's been reluctant to do. The key here, as I see it, California was not a state that was won by the current president. Maybe he wouldn't care, though I doubt that. However, this could be the beginning of a trend. I could very definitely see New York State following suit and a few other blue states, which would make a presidential run in 2020 a little bit more challenging. Currently, the president of the United States is going to address the UN for the first time. The conversation has surfaced that he will talk about, once again, North Korea and Iran. And we've got to do more in terms of North Korea, we being the United Nations. There's one problem with what's going on, and I think by now we all probably are pretty aware or sensitive to it. The president basically speaks out on everything, then changes it, then mitigates it, then goes somewhere else. A very intelligent comment, which I heard this morning on the news by one of the commentators, one of the panelists, was this: how are we going to get the North Koreans to believe that we will work with them in creating some type of deal on their nuclearization, when indeed we struck a deal with Iran on their nuclear situation, and ever since the president started running and since he's been in office, he's been threatening to back off from that agreement, an agreement which was made with six other major powers and Iran. So this is why I think it's bedeviling to a lot of people. It certainly doesn't instill confidence that the president is, President Trump, is all over the board in terms of what he's saying, and he's confusing. I assume he does have some goals, and he does want to get some things done, certainly in North Korea and so forth, but he seems to be stepping all over his strategy, and I can't say I know his strategy. So the muddling goes on. Pay close attention to what's happening at the UN. Particularly pay close attention to those people who will be talking about the Paris Accord regarding our climate. It's for someone who's watched things for some time, it's really pretty startling to see the United States kind of going down its own track on so many issues that are really common to the community of nations. But we'll say the president has started to use the teleprompter a little bit more, and you know, he must realize that he has got a tremendous responsibility here with all these things happening in the world. So we hope, but pay attention. The markets seem oblivious to the risk. However, as we're going into towards the fourth quarter, particularly today, pay attention to what the Federal Reserve says on interest rates. They had been planning probably to do a rate increase in December. They might make some statements today or tomorrow. It's a two-day meeting. So that's to be looked for. That's all I have for the moment.
Yeah, I look at that. I look at the markets, and I say to myself, I look at the markets like I'll look at the polls. Right now, the markets are going to do what they've been doing for the past 8 years now, almost 8.5 years. They operate in their own vacuum, and yes, it all looks fine and dandy. But the whole thing about the markets, all it takes is one thing to bring it all crashing down.
The markets are
they're not. They're not, to me. They're not. Like, you can't judge success by looking at the market, at current market conditions.
Well, you can.
Get it out.
Okay, markets are like it's like saying the markets in and of themselves are basically collective thinking and trading, and it's more about being able to do that than, in other words, do the trading, do the this.
I don't like to tie them to politics because they have nothing to do with politics except run politics, basically.
But
they have nothing to do with that, really, with what the president and what the Congress is doing. But what I'm saying is the Congress and the president and external factors do have an impact on them, on the markets. The market
has, so does propping up the market, which happens in so many cases. So it's really, it's not, to treat the market as something that has no connection. I'm just trying to be diplomatic about the whole thing because, yes, there are these markets. They are entities through which you can trade. But the same people who are trading in these markets are, shall we say, invested in the politics and everything else. So there's a great deal of
I know, and that's why there's such but that's why there's such a disconnect to the rest of
them or props.
But that's why there's such a big disconnect to the rest of the country. Because Jim, I don't know I'm going to say 90% of the rest of the country has no ideas when you read the stock market reports or when you give the stock market numbers, they have no idea where those numbers come from.
Yeah, that's
true. Well said. I was going to say that the word, the collective feeling, is not the collective feeling of the country. It's the collective feeling of those folks who are in the market and the collective feeling of those people who are institutional investors who know that the Federal Reserve has been keeping interest rates extremely low and might continue to do so for some time. But forget the interest rate. Think in the terms of money. The Federal Reserve has been creating money that they put in the system that enables the big institutional investors and anybody actually to capitalize on it, because the money is there and it gets turned around and put into equities, because the rate of interest that is charged on the money is so small, generally speaking. So the Fed has been hyping the market. Now, the Fed originally started on this in the 08, 9, 10, 11 area, and it was appropriate because we had been in almost a depression. But by keeping rates so low, but more importantly, the idea is, think of it as a can of water, okay? And at half filled is kind of an equilibrium, and it really works well in the economy. But when you get that can completely full and it's spilling over, it creates obviously some problems on the table, but it creates eventual inflation. It creates this equilibrium in the marketplace. So the 90%, which we reference, are not aware that there is a very great inherent risk in the markets, the stock markets, and the bond markets for that matter, because of this very aggressive creation of money for too long a time on the part of the Federal Reserve. Okay. And now, let's underscore the following. For those who have been looking at the stock market, thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe tomorrow, or okay, I need this, or I need, you must understand that since the 2009 period, stocks, depending on the name, were up 140 to 250%, and some of them more. If, as I think Jill mentioned earlier, or Marshall, we were to get an event which would basically put everybody on notice, okay, ring the bell, I have big profits here, let me get out of it. When trends start, and the trend, as we know, has been up, but when trends start, they have a way of continuing for a longer period of time than one would like or one would think. The net result, if you're looking to put either new money as a current investor in the stock market, or new money because you're new to the stock market, please understand the risk that you have in that so many people who own stocks have so much money. So if they are concerned all of a sudden about something, their course is going to be prudence rather than valor, and they'll sell some stock. And then if we keep going down a little bit more, they'll sell more stock. It's like they've got nothing to lose because they've got profits. The market, as Jill has said, yes, it's basically a psychology where people say, things are good, they're getting better, I buy. Things are terrible, they're going to get worse, I sell. Things I don't know, so I don't do anything. It's really that simple. Now, in terms of the makeup of a corporation and its value and the subsequent stock value, that's a different thing. That's a technical thing. But we're talking psychology here. Yeah. And psychology is very important now at this particular time in the market. Better to take a risk in a market that's been really killed, but where there are some very good securities, than a market that, frankly, has been a bit overhyped.
And I think it's wonderfully clear. So I'm not going to get into, I was going to ask you about something.
That line summarizes it in a nutshell. For the Americans that are looking out there thinking, wow, things are great, I'm going to get in now. You missed your opportunity a long, 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 long,
long time
ago.
Because the people who have been in and who have made the money are in a profit
They've
position,
made money and
they
and
will sell happily. And the thing, what Jim is talking about that's absolutely right, is once you start, once the momentum
once
in one
the ball
direction
starts, to
starts
roll,
it, you
it rolls till it gets to the bottom of the hill.
and no one is.
See, Jim explained it better than I was trying to explain it, but I was just trying to explain that 90% of Americans just don't realize that
and how that works, and that's part of.
No, that's really. I think that puts it in better perspective, because you think at 90% of 300 million people, that's a lot of people.
Hey,
along those lines,
Equifax,
the success of the stock market has not been mirrored by the success of the average wage earner in the country. No. And the average wage earner in the country over the long term makes the country tick in terms of buying goods and services and so forth and so on. Right. That's a very key thing to keep in mind as you're evaluating the economy. Right. We are not. And forget politics here, okay? This is not politics. This is called dollars and cents. If somebody is not making an extra 1% or 2% a year, and corporations are making 10 to 40% a year, or the corporate CEO is making 25% a year, that is out of whack. It can only stay out of whack so long. And there are various things that could happen. But one thing that happens is, the salary worker says, the heck with it, I'm pulling in my horns, I'm saving. Or the corporations realize, you know, we've got a good staff, we want to produce more, we want to compete more in the world, so we're going to raise wages and get better people and keep up people and so forth.
All right.
But I don't see a simple solution to that.
All right.
A challenge to the U.S. economy.
All right, we're out of time.
And you did a great job not mentioning the unmentionables.
Yes, I never mention the unmentionables, whatever those are.
All right, Jim. We'll
have a terrific week. And stay safe. Stay safe. Keep your eyes open. Otherwise, kiss the kids. Say hi to everybody.
All right, Jim.
Bye bye.
I'm Jim Lynch, and cover your assets here on Robinhood Radio.